الله أكبر الله أكبر.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. All praise is due to Allah, the Treasurer and Sustainer of the Holy Verse. And may Allah's blessing and peace be upon our last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the last episode, I discussed with you some beautiful examples concerning Islam. I mentioned that Islam teaches us about many, many things, like it offers us clarity about our creation, clarity about our spirituality, clarity and purity of the concept of God, clarity of the concept of worship, whom should we worship, clarity of the purpose of life, clarity about the next life, clarity about our last destination, paradise or hellfire, and clarity of the way to gain the true happiness and ultimate pleasure. I concluded that if our mind is captive to prejudice, to preconception of anything, some non-Muslims might be or might have some preconceived notions, or they have preconceived negative notions about Islam. Perhaps they have only seen it as portrayed by the media who are reporting about terrorists. Those misguided few who would be terrorists regardless of their religion. Perhaps you have read or heard about Islam from unauthentic or biased sources. So this is why I invite non-Muslims to objectively and open-mindedly discover more about the beauty and clarity of Islam. Islam answers humanity's critical questions. In other words, Islam answers these questions. What is the truth? Who created us? Why were we created? Who is our true God? Whom should we worship? Why are we here? What is after death? How about the next life? What is our last destination? What is our last destination? Paradise or hell? How to get real happiness and ultimate pleasure? So these are major questions that millions of people ask. So we have to try our best to answer or find answers for these questions. Now, regarding the creation, the glorious Quran, the universal Quran, beautifully tells us that it is He, Allah, He, God, created the heavens and the earth for truth. So this is the truth about the creation. It is He who created the night and the day. This is from the Quran. It is He who created the night and the day and the sun and the moon. They swim along, each in an orbit. The Quran 21, 23. So God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the creator of everything. Moreover, these who believe in nature, for example, those some who believe that God does not exist, they argue that nature is the one who created the whole thing. They do not believe because they can't see, touch, or experiment him. Let me tell you this story. A couple of years ago, my neighbor in Oregon, USA, visited me at my house. We talked about several things, among which we discussed the concept of God. The one true God, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were talking about him. So he said, he mentioned that I asked him why. He told me, because I cannot touch, I cannot even, he knocked the tea table saying, I cannot touch God. I cannot see God. So I asked him, do you believe in the power or the energy of electricity? He said, sure, yes. I said, do you see the electricity itself, the power, the energy itself? I further asked him, do you have feelings? He said, sure. He was surprised to ask him this question. He said, sure, I have feelings. I asked him, what are the colors of your feelings? Are they what? Red, green, blue, or yellow, or what? He was laughing at me. Say, what are you saying? Are you crazy? I said, no. But, I mean, why? Why you can't tell me about the color of your feelings? He said, I didn't see them. I didn't experiment touching or, you know, seeing them physically. So I asked him, so now you believe in feelings, you believe in your feelings, but you did not see them. How? Now you deny in the existence, or you deny the existence of God because you did not see him. How? Why? Why you believe in your feelings? Why you believe in your feelings where you have not, you have not seen them yet? So this is one of the big puzzle. They say nature. Nature created us. What is nature? Let's define nature. How do you define nature? What is it? The earth, the sky, the universe, the mountains, the day, the night, the trees, the oceans, the rivers, you name it. Can these things create human beings? Can they? Were they creators? Did they create themselves? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, were they the creators? Were they the creators? Or they created themselves? So, this is a big question that we must think about. So, and this brings us back to the beauty of Islam. It has clarity. It gives us clarity about the creation and the truth about the Creator, Allah, the one true God. Glory be to Him. At the end, I would like to thank Mr. Khalil Isa for recording this meeting. Also, I would like to thank you all for your time. Wassalamu alaikum ورحمة الله وبركاته.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon our last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Part of the beauty of Islam, it answers critical questions like, what is the truth about God? Who created us? Why were we created? What is who is our true God? Whom should we worship? Why are we here? What is after death? How about the next life? What is our last destination? Paradise or hell? How to get real happiness and ultimate pleasure? So Islam answers humanity's critical questions. To share with you just some definitions that we can, you know, use from time to time, let me shed some light on these main terms that we use from time to time. Allah or God. So when we ask who is Allah or who is God, in Arabic we use this word Allah. Allah is the name of the one true God, the Creator. Allah is the true God for all mankind. We believe, Muslims believe, that Allah is the true God for all mankind. Jews, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, agnostics, etc., etc. How about Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? Muhammad is the last prophet. He is the last prophet of the one true God. He was sent to all mankind. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is sent as mercy, guidance to all mankind. Islam means what? It means submission, obedience, surrender to the will of the one, the one true God, Allah the Creator. How about Quran? Quran is, or the glorious Quran is, the last word of the one true God, Allah, revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, knowing these major terms, let me go back to those major questions, those critical and significant questions that millions of people ask. What is the truth? Islam teaches us that Allah, the one true God, is the one who created the whole universe. So who created us? This is the other or the second important question. Who created us? Allah, the Creator, created all mankind. Whether they are Jews, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, agnostics, you name them. We believe that it is He, Allah, the one who created them all. Why were we created? The Quran clearly answers this question. Says, Allah created, the meaning of this verse, Allah created humans and jinns just to worship Him. So Allah created the jinns and humans, mankind, to worship Him. So we are here on this land, on this earth, to know Him, to know our true God, our Creator, the one who created us all, and then to worship Him according to His teachings, according to His guidance, not according to our whims or wishes or desires. This is why Allah sent the prophets and the messengers like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, John the Baptist, Muhammad, peace be upon them all, just to show us the way leading to Him, the one true God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who is our true God? Again, the Quran tells us more about Him. It says, after A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, Bismillahi Rahman Rahim, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Satan. And we say, in the name of Allah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say, He is Allah, the One. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Allahu Samad. Allah is the Absolute, the Eternal, the Everlasting, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not need any help, any support, any food, any drink, but others are in need of His help. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He does not beget. And He was not, you know, begotten, nor was He begotten. So Allah does not beget. He has no son. We don't believe, Muslims do not believe that Allah has sons like Jesus or X or Y. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like humans, not like animals. He's different. He is unique. He is perfect. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the beautiful names, attributes, and qualities belong solely to Him alone. Whom should we worship? And just let me complete the chapter after saying, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Allah says, there is nothing, there is none like unto Him. This is the whole chapter. It is the chapter of unity. Chapter number 112. Another major question, whom should we worship? Are we supposed to worship Buddha, Krishna, Brahma, Jesus, Muhammad, X or Y? No. This is, again, the simplicity, the purity, the clarity in the concept of God and worship in Islam. It is greatly a beautiful concept. We worship alone the true one. We worship Him alone. We bow to Him alone. We pray. We make or perform salah or ibadah, worship in general, only to Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are we here? This is another question. Some might ask, why are we here in this life, in this world? We are here to be tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test us. Who will pass and who will fail? Who will go to paradise and who will go to hellfire? I will share with you more of these questions and their answers in another episode, God willing. I would like to thank you for your time and thank Mr. Khalil Isa for recording this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رمضان مبارك. May Allah make it a blessed month for all of you. What is the wisdom of fasting? Some might ask, why do Muslims fast the month of Ramadan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the glorious Quran, O ye who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that ye may have piety. So this is the wisdom or the main reason why Allah, the true God, prescribed for us fasting, that we may achieve piety. The Quran tells us that this has been prescribed upon those before us, like the Jews and Christians. We can't trace this in the Bible too. For example, we find in Matthew that Jesus, peace be upon him, was fasting for 40 days. So the prophets throughout history, as the Bible also tells us, they were fasting to who? To the true God. Jesus, peace be upon him, was also fasting. And actually in Islam, we believe that the true religion for all the prophets and messengers of Allah is just one religion. That is Islam, submission to the will of the true God. So we believe that Adam, Abraham, Noah, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, all those prophets were Muslims, submitting their wills to Allah, the true God. And as I said earlier, that Jesus was fasting. He was praying to who? To God. I'd like, in this context, to comment on what the Pope said. He uttered negative and biased statements against Islam, Muslims, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seems to me it is based on ignorance or based on hatred and envy. He could read the glorious Quran right away, and he can tell from the Quran that the message of all the prophets is just one. Which is more logical? Which is more rational? To believe in one true God, the Creator alone, or to believe in three, as they say, three in one or one in three? So which one is more logical? He claims that Islam is not logical. He claims that Islam is irrational. Now let's compare between what we know about Christianity, which, you know, teaches Trinity, as the priests actually preach. They believe in the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They say you have to believe in Trinity. So you can ask, are they three or one? If you add one plus one plus one equals what? You may ask a little child. Let them calculate this easy, you know, formula to calculate. One plus one plus one equals what? A child would tell you it equals three. But you say, no. We believe only in one God. What are you talking about? This is illogical. It cannot be accepted by the mind and by the heart. So now let's judge which is more logical, which is more rational. You know, the Catholic Church teaches that the Christians can eat the bread and can drink the wine
believing that these are the flesh and the blood of Jesus. Can you believe it? They believe in that, literally. They say, you eat the bread and you drink wine, believing that this is embodying the flesh and blood of Jesus. Is this rational? Is this logical? So let's discuss this with the Pope. Let's have a dialogue. Let me go back to the main topic, fasting. So Jesus was fasting like Muhammad. So all those prophets, they were doing the will of God. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our dear prophet, told us that fasting is a shield or protection from the fire and from committing sins. So this is another great benefit for fasting, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us. Fasting is a shield, a protection from what? From the fire. May Allah save us all. So it is a protection from the fire and from committing sins. So we are to fast, to get rid of our sins. Allah will forgive us. The Prophet Muhammad also told us, a person who fasts Ramadan faithfully and sincerely, his previous sins will be forgiven. This is another good benefit from fasting. So a person who fasts Ramadan faithfully and sincerely, his previous sins will be forgiven. And this, again, shows us the beauty of Islam. There is no need for bloodshed. There is no need for a person to die on the cross. And this is, again, this is another evidence, another aspect of the beauty of Islam. It shows us the logic and the rationality in Islam. If you seek forgiveness from God, if you go back to Him, if you pray to Him, if you fast, your sins will be forgiven. What a great offer for all of us. If you compare this with what the Pope and what the Church teaches, they teach us that you will be saved through the blood of Jesus. So this is what Paul told us in the book of Romans, in the Bible. It is only through the blood of Jesus you can be saved. Now let's compare between the logic and the beauty of Islam with what the Bible or what the Catholic Church or Christianity in general teach us. Now let me go to another aspect. We will gain spiritual benefits through fasting, and this is one of the benefits of fasting, spiritual benefits. We will get also moral benefits. We will have moral benefits. Another aspect, educational benefits. Then we have emotional benefits from fasting. Healthy benefits. There are many, many benefits that we can gain from fasting. Now let's go to the first aspect, spiritual benefits to attain God consciousness. So you like to have more piety, more God consciousness. This is one way to achieve that goal, to attain God consciousness and to gain God's forgiveness. Fasting also develops sincerity. When you fast sincerely for Allah, the true God, nobody knows about that. Nobody knows about you. Because if you don't show others, nobody can tell you are fasting or not. So it develops sincerity. And we fast not to show off, not to show others. Look at me, or look at her, or look at him. They are fasting. No, we do it sincerely for the sake of God, the true God, the God of all people, the God of Jews, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, and all. Fasting protects from hellfire, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us. We will discover more about the secrets of fasting in upcoming episodes, God willing. Thanks for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fasting. وجزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you all. Fasting is prescribed for us as it was prescribed for those before us. So this is how the Quran tells us. The reason is to achieve piety or taqwa. The Quran clearly states, O ye who believe, fasting is prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may have piety. The Prophet Muhammad told us that fasting is a shield or protection from the fire and from committing sins. In addition to that, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us, a person who fasts Ramadan faithfully and sincerely, his previous sins will be forgiven. And this is what we are trying our best to achieve, to be forgiven, to be admitted to paradise, to eternal life. And this is what the prophets, including Muhammad, Jesus, Moses, Noah, Abraham, and others, this is what they told us about, to have eternal life. Islam equally teaches us that there is another life. So we have to work hard for that second life. We have to fast the month of Ramadan as it is prescribed for us and as it is prescribed by God. We have to follow His commandments precisely and accurately. We have to pray as the Prophet, as the prophets before him, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the prophets, those I mentioned before, Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and the rest of them, they were praying. They were prostrating. They were kneeling down. And this is what we Muslims do. I would like to stress the point that Islam is not strange. It is not illogical, as the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church claimed. We got to learn Islam from its authentic sources. Islam is a logical religion. It is a rational faith. It meets our needs. It meets our nature, our innate instincts. Islam teaches us to follow and to believe in one true God, the Creator. Not to follow three gods or more. In some religions, they believe in three gods. Like in Christianity, the church teaches the following. You have to believe in the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Hinduism, they believe in Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, another trinity. It's called Hindu Trinity. In addition to that, they believe in 33 million gods. So now you can compare. You can see. You can know more about the beauty and logic in Islam. So we have to be fair. We have to be objective. Not to take, any statements or any allegation for granted. Let's examine it, whether from the Pope or from the media or from any person. Let's examine and verify what they say, especially when they talk about Islam. They want to distort the image of Islam. They want to misinform people about Islam. Sometimes It is intentionally, and sometimes is not intentionally. So I invite all Muslims and non-Muslims to come to a common ground, to have a dialogue, to understand each other closely rather than from biased, ignorant statements. Let me go back to the benefits of fasting. These are some of the benefits. Number one, spiritual benefits. Number two, moral benefits. Number three, educational benefits. Number four, emotional benefits. Number five, healthy benefits. Let's go now to discover more about each one of these benefits. The first one, spiritual benefits. Part of the benefits to attain God consciousness, to be God conscious, to fear God, to keep His commandments, to hope to get His eternal life. And fasting develops God consciousness. Also, we can gain God's forgiveness, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us that fasting is a protection or a shield from fire. It develops sincerity, so it teaches us that we do it for the sake of God alone, not for the sake of others. It protects from the hellfire. It is a great thing. Who wants to go to hellfire? If you don't, so you have to do the commandments of God. Follow the commandments. Part of the commandments, fasting, praying, giving charity, performing pilgrimage, doing good deeds. In addition to that, fasting leads to paradise. It leads to eternal life. And this is what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us, that through fasting, you will be admitted to paradise. Moral benefits. These are other benefits that we can gain from Ramadan, from fasting. Talking and behaving nicely. So this is what the Quran teaches us. When we fast, it's not only fasting from eating and drinking, it's also fasting from bad talking and ill behaving or bad behaving. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that whoever does not give up forged speech and evil actions, Allah is not in need of his fasting. So what's the benefit for those who feel the pain of hunger and thirst of fasting, but they get no reward? They are wasting their time. Why? Because they did not keep their fasting from bad action or forged speech. As the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ told us, whoever does not give up forced speech and evil actions, Allah is not in need of his fasting. So we have to be careful. We must be careful not to say anything bad. Some people, when they fast, they act and behave in a bad way. They say, "I'm fasting." So they feel in a kind of a lot of burden or pressure on them. Fasting is a way to get reward, to get ajr, not a way to get sins. So make your fasting a happy and a good thing. Don't look at it as a bad thing or a kind of torture for you. Enjoy it. Dear brothers and sisters, try to enjoy your fasting. Live it. Try to experience it. And avoid bad words, forced speech, evil actions. Don't attack others by a bad word. Be nice, be smooth. So these are some of the moral benefits that we can gain from fasting. In the upcoming episode, inshallah, God willing, we'll talk more about the benefits of fasting. In the end, I would like to thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar, Allahu
Akbar. The beauty of Islam. Prepared and presented by Dr. Naji Al-Arfaj.